Dear friends, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us as we worship and praise your name together. Now, if you want to follow along, there are only 50 points in this sermon, so I'm going to talk really fast so we can get them all in. Now, if you hold up your cross, you see the cross? This is the cross of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, take it and turn it. There it is. We've got a manger. See the manger? The manger is where Jesus lay in the animal stall and so on. Now, I want to think about Romans 10, verse 8. And the word there is angus. Can you say that word, angus? It means they came near. So in other words, Jesus came near to his people. Now wait, some of you maybe have parents that were from a farming background. Whenever an angus gets near, you know that they're near. That's why we always teased our pastor at home. He used to say, angus means the word of the Lord came so near that I could smell it. Now, Jesus remakes the world as what? His birth stabilizes the world, okay? So take the manger that maybe would tip the little baby out and make it straight. What does it become? Instead of a manger, it becomes the cross, where Jesus allowed us to participate in the ability to be able to go to heaven, which we, everyone put up your hand, could never reach. Can you reach the ceiling? Not quite. But Jesus has gone through the heavens to come. Wait a minute. We're just about in NFL finals, right? So sometimes the pastor gets up to give you the blessing. Well, maybe this is touchdown Jesus. He's waiting for the ball to be passed to him. That's the NFL, newly fallen Lord. The Lord Jesus fell from heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't like, boom, he just got here, beam me up, Scotty. He went through Mary for 9 months. He became a human being. He had fingers and toes just like us and smell. He got tired. He sweated and bled. Wow, what a Savior he was. Okay, now we begin the 50. As we see tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis that rack the world as well as plagues, we know that what? Jesus came to level the world. Can you say that? Jesus came to level the world. Because in the manger it was kind of tipsy, but in the cross, the world has been leveled. There is a certainty about knowing who Jesus is. He lived, taught, died, gave himself, and then rose back to life. Wow. Okay, number one, Joseph and Mary, it was kind of a betrothed thing, which meant between families. Have you ever seen that where the dad and mom go, oh, that would be a great one for my son or my daughter, right? Well, these families, both families, had worked it out. It was an arranged marriage. Mary and Joseph were betrothed, which meant they lived in the same house, but there was no sex, not yet, not until the time had passed of the betrothal. So there was like a long, long engagement. But the only problem was Mary found herself pregnant, and Joseph was a righteous man. What did that mean? He didn't want to put her to shame. He didn't want to make her look bad. And also, the Jews were rock crazy. They liked to stone ladies that were not faithful to the promise of their marriage. Number two, the prophets foretold that Jesus would come. There's Job. This is one of the first books written in the Bible. As it says, and even after my skin is flayed and I am just about dust, I will see my Savior face to face. Wow. And there's Abraham. We're lining up all these prophets that foretold Jesus 2,000 years before Jesus. And Jesus said in John chapter 8 that Abraham was glad to see his day. Moses lived 1,500 years before Jesus, and he wrote the first books of the Bible. Oh, obviously, he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, too. And then he led the people, 2 million people. Can you imagine how big is Houston? Oh, probably almost double that. But imagine if you were one man, Moses, and he had a brother, Aaron and Miriam. But he led these people 40 years in the desert. Where are they going to take a shower or a bath? Where are they going to get the water? And yet he did. Now, David, 1000 BC, writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then Isaiah, he writes, beautiful thing, "King of kings, Lord of lights, Almighty God, Prince of peace, for unto us a child is born." Micah, 750 years before, writes, "Bethlehem, though you are little, small, out of you will come a ruler." Ooh. Now, sometimes when couples are pregnant, you know, we usually say couples are like, usually it's just the lady. But sometimes there are things you have to do in order to prepare the room, the color, whatever, the crib. So they may go to a doctor and they put gel on the abdomen of the woman to find out the sex of the baby. Like the pastor, didn't he show you last week what he was, the little baby's going to look like? So now, this is amazing. There's an ultrasonic angel. No gel. This man, this angel is called Gabriel and comes to Zacharias and he says, "I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a boy." And he even says the name of this boy. It's going to be John, John the Baptist. And the angel Gabriel as well goes to Mary. She says, "You're going to have a son." So no ultrasound, but the angel says, "You're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus." Wow. And then another name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. There was another angel that visited the doubting Joseph. You know, have you ever seen this? Your mama or grandma takes you by the ear and says, "Listen up, I want to tell you something. Can you do that?" "Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am." The angel said, "The baby inside of Mary is conceived of the Holy Spirit. So you take her." And what did Joseph say? "Yes, sir." He obeyed the command of the Lord. Number four. Now, this is an incredible one because Rome caused a decree written by Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It's called the census. But wait a minute. Caesar wanted to be worshipped, and yet here he was sending everyone to their hometown. How in the world could he be worshipped? Hold it. In Greek, para. Can you say para? It means from. From Caesar. But in the original, it's not Caesar, it's from Kaiserus. Oh, we think of the Third Reich, the Kaiser. But this is not the Third Reich, this is the First Reich. This is the birth of God Almighty. So you might say that Caesar was only a paralegal, a little secretary for God Almighty. Because why? What was the most important thing that Caesar did? He wrote this edict. And his name is also recorded in the Word of God. Now, Mary is so large, she can't hide her pregnancy anymore because Jewish women used to hide behind the door for some reason. They didn't want people to see them, like when they were pregnant. But now they went down to crowded little Bethlehem, which was the city of David. And here I have a picture. This is a little bigger than the picture the pastor showed you, but not much bigger. This is called a grotto, or it's a cave, maybe, which was a stable, because Bethlehem was just throbbing with people. And it says there was no room in the inn. So guess what? Mary was probably going, "Joseph, the baby's getting near. Joseph, where are we going to stay?" We don't know exactly what she said, but she had just walked 80 miles from Nazareth all the way down to Judea. And here is a picture of Mary. I'll show you later. So, the Roman decree has been given. Mary is heading down to Bethlehem. She and Joseph, as they want to become law-abiding citizens, they want to sign up. But there's no room in Bethlehem. So they find a stable. And this is the city of David, Bethlehem. Now, look at number seven. Mary ponders what Gabriel says. Now I put the Greek there, and let's read it together. Pos. Can you say pos? Yeah, she poses a question to the angel, and she says, "How? How is this possible? I have not been touched intimately by my hubby-to-be." But Gabriel says, "Whoa, with God, all things are possible." We're now on the top of number eight. The angel also tells her, Mary, that Elizabeth is in 6 months into pregnancy. But see, Mary didn't know that Zacharias, the priest, didn't believe the angel Gabriel. Gabriel said, I stand in the presence. Actually, what it means is I stand in the face of God. And now, guess what? Elizabeth is in the sixth month, and Zacharias could not speak until the child was born. And they said, put his name John. There's nobody John in your family. And then Zacharias opens his mouth and says, his name will be John. And then number nine, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the first three letters, Eli. That's what Jesus calls from the cross 30 years later. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? But then the second part of Elizabeth is Sabbath, God's rest. And all of that rest comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby inside of her, which was John the Baptist, jumped. We call him JJ, Jumping John. But he didn't jump because Mary was there. He jumped because Jesus was there inside of Mary. And it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary could not fill her with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus could, because Jesus did what? He said, I am going to send you a comforter, a counselor, and that will be the Holy Spirit. And then Elizabeth says, blessed are you among all women. And then she says the most important things. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, which was Jesus. Wow. And Jesus became the protokonos, which means he was the first child. Number 11, Eli. Jesus will call from the cross, and they think that he's calling Elijah. So they said, wait, don't bother him. Give him some wine so maybe he'll hallucinate a little bit more. And what did they say? Well, Beth El. What's Beth El? Oh, pastor's wife is named Beth. You know what Beth means in Hebrew? House. Jesus came to earth as he housed humanity. He took on a human being's form. Now, there was a famous song back in the, what is it, late 60s? Led Zeppelin said, a stairway to heaven. Well, through Mary, the stairway to heaven was being placed. This human body was being given to Jesus Christ, and it was in formation. Number 12, the prophet, ancient prophet Isaiah, said, out of a stump, there will come, bing, a little sprout. And this is called Nezer. Can you say Nezer? Nezer means a sprout. And guess where Jesus lived as a young man? Nazareth, which also means the root. The root. Jesus is the root from the green tree, but we are the dry tree. Number 13, Mary is confused, scared. She's probably a late teenage girl, but the angel comforts her and says, Mefabu. Have you seen these hats that say Fabu? It means don't fear, don't have a phobia. So the angel says, Haida. Can you put up your hand and say Haida? That's where we get our word hi. It means hello. And the angel said, hail, favored woman. Why? Because you have faith. You believe the promise of God. And then Mary, number 14, she goes wild. She says, Megaluna. Like kind of an expression would be, the cow jumps over the moon. She's just so blessed upon learning that her Lord will be the God. And she exalts in the Lord and she says, my soul exalts and exalts in praising her son, which is Jesus, as the Savior of the world. 15, God is my Savior and my psyche. Her inner soul, it rejoices. Now watch this. At baccalaureate, what do people do? They take off their cap and they what? They throw them into the air because they're so excited to graduate. Well, the same way, Mary is the same way. She's just exalted. Number 15, in God, my soul, my psuche, my soul, my inner spirit will rejoice because the hyperspace God, that high up God is, now look at this, episkia. It's like a skier at the Olympics. What do? They jump over our heads, right? And you go, as you see that little shadow of the skier going over your head, that was like what Mary experienced, knowing that she would be the mother of the Savior. Number 17. But the biggest shock was that Joseph did not believe Mary. Sure, she hadn't had relation with him, he thought. Uh-oh, this is a bad lady. But as he was considering this, the angel took him by the ear, remember? And Joseph got a DUI. You know what a DUI is? Well, drunk under the influence. Well, it's kind of like that because in Greek it says hupno. He was under, so to speak, hypnosis by the angel's dream. And as soon as he heard the command of the angel, he goes, yes, sir, I'll take Mary. But look at number 19. Mary squares off with the angel and she says, Pos, how is it possible that I'm going to have a baby? Usually it's the guy that asks the question, like, you want to be my wife? Well, she squares off with the angel and says, how is it possible? But then, as the angel tells her, with everything with God is possible, she gets it. She condescends. She believes the Messiah will be born up here. Now, where do we live? Let's hear. Where do we live? Where do we live? Texas, Texas. Now, look at this next word is texē. Can you say texē? In Greek, that means to bear. Mary bore a son. So he was a little Texan. He was born son, texē, as she went through all the pain and the squirming around to give the birth to the Lord's accepted. Now, her acceptance speech is this. I am the Lord's servant. And you know what it says? I am the Lord's slave. Remember that song? Do Lord, oh do remember me. We sang it as a kid. Do Lord. Well, that's exactly the word in Greek, doulos. That means a servant, the bound servant that you have to work off 7 years of your life. 22. And even Zacharias, he was incredulous. He didn't believe before Jesus' birth. But when John the Baptist was born, guess what he said? I believe that, O Lord God of Israel, you have visited your people and accomplished salvation. You have raised up a horn. This is a powerhouse. Blessed be Kurios. Kurios means Lord. And guess what? Curator of us animals here on earth. Wow, of human beings. He's the curator. We have it in our liturgy. What do we say? Kyrie, Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. So, number 23, Jesus shocks the world. We're halfway done. Because he existed before he was even born. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a problem for the Greeks, because they said nothing good can live in the human flesh, because they knew how people were. We can go out of here and what? Somebody pulls out in front of us, instead of saying, God bless you, we say, well, we don't want to repeat here. But the problem is, the holiness that resides in us is non-existent except for the Savior who sent the Holy Spirit that gives us the faith to believe even the impossible. And Simeon, that man in the temple, he tells Mary, there is going to be a sword that pierces your soul. My grandpa's name was Simeon or Simon. And he always said, ah, my namesake was in the temple holding Jesus. And he told Mary, at the appointed time, there will be a downfall and the uprise of many people in Israel, and a sword will pierce your soul. And then 27, great will be the Son of the Most High God. Mary was quite satisfied. She came down from her high heaven, I guess you call it, because the world was being leveled for her as she saw that her son would be the future of the entire world, dividing history between AD and BC. Now, Joseph had been worried. He was worried about what they'd say about his wife-to-be, but he was now satisfied as well. 29, but when he considered this, the angels gave him the DUI. What do we say? What's the DU? Duh. And then I believe. Yes, sir. So let's say it. Duh. I couldn't hear it. Duh. I believe you, Lord, for this child is of the Holy Spirit. And then the angel quoted Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and bear a son. That's that Texan. And you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Whoa, 31. Mary bulged and she gave birth to the Savior. And here's the episkia. She just was incredulous as she held the baby in her, as the shadow of the Almighty God was passing over her. But for Joseph, this, we're 32, this marriage was kind of weird. Why? Well, Mary had said that she would be a virgin birth. He goes, "You're not going to fool me. Don't tell me this is from the Holy Spirit." But now the angel told him, and he saw that show up in her midriff, and he goes, "Yeah." But the angel told him what? "You will call him Jesus." So Joseph is important that he names Jesus as his name bearer. 30 plus years later, Mary Magdalene stands by the tomb of Jesus weeping. And then the angel says, "Why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Come see the place where he lay. He's no longer here. He has risen." And guess what? There were also nearby three disciples, Peter, James, and John, as they went to the Mount of Figuration. And then a big old cloud was overshadowing them. That was the cloud that God led the Israelites through the wilderness. And what did they do? They reacted different. They didn't cry like Mary, but they hit the dirt with their chest first, pecho first. They were eating the dirt because they were so scared. So the glory of God causes each of us to react differently. 34, Jesus out of sight, being born in a nearby little grotto in a shepherd's place, and the glory of the Lord shone around these shepherds in the field, and the glory scared them. But the angel said, "These were the last words my mother said to me. For today is born to you in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." She died on Christmas Day. What a day to die and be with the Lord. And then that one angel, and millions, maybe thousands of angels said, "Glory to God in the highest." I want to hear it. "Glory to God." I couldn't hear it. "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men on earth." And that's called doxa, as it's like the generator as it keeps going around and around. Now, you see a dog? You see all kinds of dog people walking their dogs? A dachshund is, dachshund means, like we have doxology, right? It means glory. But you see the dachshund is grows and grows. It's a long dog, isn't it? I don't know how long, maybe I'm like a fisherman here. But the glory of God. Now, the shocked shepherds, 35, they heard the Savior is born, the Lord, the promised Messiah, and they acted instantly. "Let us go to Bethlehem and find this Savior according to the sign." Now, they had been told that what? They would find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. What we don't know in English is it says esperagam. It's like a little piece of asparagus wrapped in this cloth. Wow, that was little skinny baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes in cloth. Wow, how the scripture gives us the joy. And the shock, Mary and Joseph were there, and suddenly, let's have some panting. You've just run from the hills. You're hurrying to go to find him in Bethlehem. There must have been a lot of people in Bethlehem. But there are the shepherds. They haven't taken a shower. They're night watchmen. They're lowly people that can't find other work than watching the sheep by night. There they see the baby. But they're not the only ones. Maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, wise men find Jesus. These are the star galactic people who have followed this star for 2 years. And in fact, Herod has the gall to tell them, "Hey, find the child and let me know so I can go worship." Because they say, Mary says, what? "Post, how is this possible?" And then what does the wise men say? "Pooh, where?" They want to find the Pooh Bear. Where is the baby Jesus born? Where? And then the star stops right over the place where Jesus is to be born. They overjoyed. They're not only shepherds, they're wise, educated people. And guess what they do? They offer three gifts. Gold. This poor couple is going to go to Egypt, and now they have gold. They have money. And they have frankincense. That's like us when we pray, our prayers go up to heaven. and then myrrh. Do you know, can you scratch yourself? That's how myrrh is forested. And then they wait until it bleeds, and then they boil it. Well, that's amazing. That's what they used to put on Jesus as he was put into the tomb. Remember the lady with the alabaster jar worth 1 year's salary? She pours it on Jesus' head, and he said, my body has been what? Prepared for my death. So the Savior is to be born, and we're looking at number 44. Handel, he was that musician, and he put it to music. For unto us a child is born, unto us. I'm not quite a good singer as pastor. A son is given. Now that's a thing talking about Jesus being human. Jesus cannot be separated, the human, the divinity, melted or squeezed or somehow together. Sometimes he looks so human, he's thirsty, he's bleeding, he's struck. And yet other times he's rising from the dead. He's floating through the sky, walking through walls. Look at number 47. Jesus was first called the Way. The Way. The Truth and the Life. John 14, 1. 48, only two more. The church in Antioch, the first disciples were called by Jesus' second name. His name was Jesus Christ. And they called the first Christians Christianus. Now 49. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament under inspiration by the Holy Spirit. And the first church, Acts 24, 14, is called the Way. Now, I know you want to know what the word for way is. Hold on. Can you say it? Hold on. What in the world does hold on mean? Oh, how many here remember Woodstock? That was called a hoedown. All these people stripped off their clothes and did drugs and were drunk. Oh, no, we're not talking about that. Jesus did the opposite. He took on human flesh. He became one of us. And you could not separate, melted, or squeezed somehow into his human body was the divine, eternal God. And now, as people of God, our last one. We might call Jesus whatever we want. Oh, he's just a prophet. He's just a sage, a teacher, a miracle worker. But unless you call him God, Father, Son, the second person of the Holy Spirit of the Trinity, you'll miss the whole point of his royal birth. Jesus was called royalty, king, savior, lord, master, rabbi, teacher, messiah, prophet. All these are things that shock us into announcing. And so I have three gifts. Number one, Jesus is so incredible. Let's see what this gift is. Do you know what this is? This is what you're all waiting for, to go get what? Coffee. But we can't get it until we have a filter. Now, I've got a special little bag here that we put coffee into the what? Filter. And then what happens? Is it coffee? Is it coffee? Not yet. What happens to coffee? Then we have to pour boiling water. And as Jesus drank this bitter cup, this boiling water was his death as he was killed and slayed and stabbed. But then that wasn't all. The boiling came as he descended into hell. To what? Not to suffer, but to proclaim his victory. That's the first gift. He became a flavorful gift for us. Now, I hope you appreciate my growing the beard. The only reason I grew this beard was so I could preach this sermon. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know? My name is Joseph, and I have come here to tell you that my son-in-law, so to speak, was the savior of the world. And it was incredible having him in my household. What a beautiful thing. Now, since David was a great man, we're going to look at the third and final gift. I know you're ready to get out of here. Here we go. Oh, I'm supposed to do a different one. Let's see. Away in the Manger. Amen. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we'll now let the musician take over, Mr. Pennekamp. Now I've got to find my bulletin. Where is